Good morning. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jen Peterzelka.
And we want to welcome you to another installment of Good to Grow. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, El Paso.
How are you doing?
I'm great.
All right.
I'm great. I'm ready to go and into the season. So
well,
things are
I
great.
Think there's a lot of people that are maybe snuggling in at home and thinking about their future gardening plans that they have, even though we're right in the middle of winter time. But rest assured, the Master Gardeners are still here available to help you if you have any gardening questions. The Master Gardeners have done such a great job, and they've really revamped the local website. So we encourage anybody that has any questions on any types of gardening in El Paso to go out and visit the El Paso Master Gardener site. They are at txmg.org/El Paso. And there you'll be able to see a lot of different menu options, whether you want to learn about a specific topic, if you want to look in some archived articles that Master Gardeners have written. Also, there's a great display on different demonstration gardens that Master Gardeners are there. And by far, probably one of the most essential part of that website is there's a way to contact Master Gardeners.
Absolutely.
Directly on there.
And it's called Ask Us, so it's very easy to access. And I want to take a minute to congratulate our website team. They won first place at the State Master Gardener Conference in the spring, and it was an honor that's well-deserved. It takes a lot of diligence on a daily basis, and it's my understanding there's going to be some new great new articles that are a bit of a refresher for all of us, but they're going to be published on the website in the next few weeks. So I encourage you, especially on these cold, chilly days, just sit down with your laptop or your iPad or whatever and go to that website. And if you've got questions, don't hesitate to ask us. Even though we're not at our help desk right now, we do have a Master Gardener that's manning that Ask Us station on our website.
Right, exactly. And I want you all to be rest assured that everything that is put on the website has either been tailored for El Paso or there's been specifically chosen because it's applicable to El Paso.
Absolutely. And that's so important.
Yeah, a lot of times we have people on the internet doing these searches and they get bounced all over the place. But
really,
a surefire way to be able to get something that's local, that pertains to us out here in the garden in the great Southwest, go visit that Master Gardener homepage, and that's at txmg.org/El Paso, and we'll have that up on the Good to Grow page
exactly.
as well.
Exactly. And we're also on Facebook at El Paso Master Gardeners. There's been a lot of really neat information on shopping and different kinds of plants that are very popular this time of the year, too. So
definitely.
Don't hesitate to go to Facebook, El Paso Master Gardeners. It's very easy to access.
And if that weather warms up and you're able to go outside, I want to go in there and look in our tool sheds and
Absolutely.
See what is going on out there.
This is the time to do that. And you know, caring for tools, Denise, is very, very important. It's you need to do a yearly inventory, a yearly inspection, and see, you know, what's working well, what isn't, how many shovels are full of rust and all of those kinds of things. And if with some good basic maintenance, you shouldn't have a whole lot to do in the wintertime because you've taken care of your tools during the year. A lot of people say, oh, the handle on my shovel is broken, so I'm going to throw it away. You can replace those handles. Say there's some splinters or some rough spots, and sand them down, oil them up really good, and you'll be surprised at the number of years of service you can get out of those tools.
Right.
And it's really important to, after you use them, to clean them well. We recommend a recipe of one part bleach to nine parts water. And remember, You do that and it'll last for a while, but it's a gas, so bleach will dissipate. So you have to refresh that every once in a while, but that's a great thing to do, to dip those tools in that bleach water to clean them off. Also, it'll be rose pruning time before too long. Little alcohol wipes work, or the little disinfectant wipes that you can keep in your pocket or in a little bucket help to really keep those plants clean in between rose pruning,
right,
so that you don't pass critters on to other things.
Exactly. And I think all gardeners should have a basic set of tools for that. And I think one is probably the best quality that you can afford of a bypass pruner.
Absolutely.
Don't get those anvil pruners. They're not really the best for the ornamental plants that we take care of, because the anvil does is they actually crush the stem as they're cutting it. And what you want is what they call the bypass, is those blades bypass one another.
Exactly.
And that gives you a nice clean cut on there. So you definitely want to make sure that you have those as well. And cleaning those pruning shears needs to be a year-round effort as well. But take a look at them now and oil them up as well and, you know, file them down.
And sharpen them. Mm-hmm. And when you do, you can buy a little tiny honing tool for around $6 at any of your big box stores or a hardware store. And when you do those blades, make sure that you just go, you know, don't saw with that honing tool. Go in one direction. So you want to hone that. So because they do get chipped, and we're dealing with some hardwoods many times, and so they take a beating. But keep that in your gardening bucket, mm-hmm. and don't hesitate to sharpen those up. After you clean them, even, it makes a big difference. And your tools will last forever. And label them. Label them. Maybe a bright purple piece of yarn or your name tag or whatever, especially if you're working in a group. And I'm really good about laying my tools down and wondering, where did you go? Do you have feet or what? You can keep track of them. If they've gotten buried down in the mulch, there's that purple string that you can,
yeah, exactly.
You can dig them out when you go to use them again.
Many moons ago, I worked with a group and we did a lot of field experiments and research. And it was a large group of folks working, especially during the summertime. And it was a large group of also a lot of guys. And I thought, how am I going to keep track of all my tools? So I went down to the hardware store and I bought the babiest pink spray paint that I could find.
There you go.
And I spray paint the handles of all my tools that baby pink, because first of all, I knew that those guys wouldn't be able to hide
exactly.
when they took my tools from me. And I could
and they wouldn't want them anyway because they had pink handles.
Exactly. So, yeah, definitely. I completely
understand
that. So, yeah, way you can identify those, especially when you're in a big group and especially you have some nice tools and you want to keep them close.
And with the wooden handles, if they have wooden handles on them, the paint would protect them as well. So,
right. Exactly.
You can always sandpaper that off later if you... You know, if your husband wants to use it or whatever.
Exactly.
So that
or you get his own tools.
Right. Get your own tools. Well, and I'm kind of that way. I reminiscent of my mother when she was quite a seamstress. And we were not touch her sewing scissors. So don't be using my pruners for anything other than pruning and really leave them to me.
Yes. I've seen pruning shears being used to cut electrical wires when sprinklers are being installed. And you name it. Yeah.
Cardinal garden sand. Other tools that we probably don't think of as tools are hats and gloves, especially in the summertime, sunscreen, water. All of those things are very, very important to keeping us safe, just as it is to keep our tools sharp. And sharp tools are going to work a whole lot better, just like your knives in your kitchen. It's always a good idea to make sure that you keep those in really good working order.
Right. And it's always nice to be able to go out there and take a look at your garden and go out there and cleaning your tool shed and kind of doing a little inventory to see what you have. A lot of times, you know, you buy some supplies or you're going to replace something or you have a coupling or a nozzle or a spray head hanging around there. Now's a great time to be able to organize, spend some time out there, because once that spring season rolls around, I mean, it's going to be mass chaos. You're going to want to spend time outside, and the best place to be able to do that is in a nice organized shed to see exactly what you have.
And it's a lot cooler right now. You know, it's not the dead heat of the summertime, and you always have great intentions. And I think you end up saving a lot of money because, like you said, especially with your smaller things, some of your irrigation supplies and stuff like that, you go to say, oh, gosh, I don't have this or I don't have that. You go out and buy it, and you come back, and then you had 12 of them.
Right.
So
and it's a
good way to, you know, keep track of those things so that you know what you've got and when you need to purchase new things. Right. It really, really makes a deal. And I think, you know, if your tools are not in good shape, if you've got rusted metal, you can remove that rust with a brush. And even using motor oil and in some sand makes a big difference. But if you keep them nice and tidy and clean, the reward will be long-lasting for you.
Right.
It's very important to really take care of those kinds of things.
Exactly. And I think for most of us, we just like to kind of spend some time outside and be able to do all this, you know, inventory and taking a look to see what we have. But it's also a great opportunity to be able to build something, if you will. And a lot, you know, gardeners, you know, so industrious folks, you know, always trying to repurpose something and use and extend something. And it's really a great time to probably do something to get a jump start on some early spring gardening on there.
Sure.
And I think that if you have some time and the weather's good, you know, it's a great time to be able to add some compost to those, maybe those fallow
marginal
or empty,
marginal beds.
Yeah, flower beds at this point. So, you know, how do you go about that, you know, and where do you start?
Sure. And tilling your beds, you know, we're not going to have, the average gardener's not going to have a rototiller. So you are the rototiller, mm-hmm. and you dig down about 12 inches and turn that soil and add some good compost to it. And I've even done that with my pots, because potting soil can get very expensive, and you can amend that potting soil as well, just like you do the soil in your beds. Now, I do not recommend using the garden soil in your containers because it gets so heavy, but it's a good time to get that soil ready. So it's a time of preparation.
Right, exactly. And, you know, one of the tools that you can use to be your own tiller is a little shuffler, a little metal tinged, almost like a hoe looking, but
yes.
It's almost like a D-shaped.
Like you do for your weeds.
Yeah, exactly.
The weeders.
But that's kind of a good way to be able to break up that soil as well. And if, you know, you're wondering about how much compost to put in, or, you know, do I need to order a truck of compost or what? Think about this, is that every time you're going to grow something, especially in something intense like vegetables or any kind of annuals, you want to add compost. And you want to do that at 2 inches in your
minimum,
soil.
Right?
So when you add your 2 inches, then you're going to have to do a little bit of math, but there's a lot of online calculators to be able to help you. You need to know your square footage
right.
of your bed, and then you're going to go down 2 inches. And that's going to tell you how much compost to buy. So that's going to be able to tell you need X number of bags to buy, or if you have a really big area, you're going to look at cubic yards to buy.
If you have neighbors that are avid gardeners like you are, and you want to have compost delivered, or maybe you want to go pick it up, then you can share as well. And that's a economical way to do it.
Right.
But the bags are great if you've got a small area. We always say he with the most compost wins regardless. And many of those things, like you said, are heavy feeders. So they're going to need all those nutrients that are in that compost. And you can always do your own compost bin if you're really energetic and,
right, exactly.
and industrious.
Exactly, exactly. And it does take a lot of kitchen scraps and yard waste mm-hmm. to break down into compost, but it's definitely worth that investment.
Right. Recycling at its best.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, so whether you want to go and buy some compost and get out there and stretch your gardening legs, now is definitely the chance to be able to do that.
There's just a million ways to keep yourself healthy and to keep your garden healthy. So you're doing that in the wintertime. As I said before in the show, we want to eliminate the paradigm that gardening is just from April to September.
Right.
You know, there's a lot to be done in these fall months, and preparation is very, very important.
Right. Well, I think we kind of given some people some ideas to kind of go out there. And as soon as that weather clears up, take advantage of your time.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wonderful. So we want to thank you for listening to Good to Grow. If you have any questions for the Master Gardeners, please visit them at txmg.org, El Paso. Or if not, give them a call at the Master Gardener Help Desk at 771-2354. And we want to thank Evan Walsh for producing and engineering today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Petterzelka.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.